Welcome to Island Ghost Radio. I'm Mike Taylor.
I'm Diane Constell.
And I'm Erica Papino.
And joining us by phone is Oliver Peterson. Say hi, Oliver.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Oliver.
Hey.
Oliver is a member of our group, Island Ghost Investigations. Thanks for joining us, Oliver.
Thank you for having me.
And we wanted to have Oliver on because Oliver came up with the poll that we have tonight. And that poll is, what is a demon? And in addition to that poll, we have someone who knows demons very well joining us as a guest.
That would be John Zaffis, the godfather of the paranormal and my very favorite person.
Oh, I thought it was a comedian.
You can't think of anything, can you?
Ricky Gervais.
Yes, I thought it was comedian Ricky Gervais.
No, John Zaffis is my favorite.
Okay. So
he's the head honcho, the big cheese.
Yes, and John Zaffis will be coming up shortly, but first, let's get to the results of the demon poll.
The demon poll?
The demon poll?
Oh, no, not again.
Let's not go there, ladies. That joke is very old. All right.
We haven't talked about demon polls before.
It's funny. We had this posted on our MySpace mood status. We had, what is a demon, with the link to go vote. And people kept commenting. People were leaving comments like, my ex-husband or my ex-wife.
A lot of demonic exes out there.
Yeah. What's up with this rise in demonic exes? I don't know. So let's get to the poll results right now. All right. The question was, what is a demon? Ladies, do you want to read the choices people could choose from?
The first selection is nothing. Demons aren't real.
The second choice was, a demon is actually just a malevolent human spirit.
The third choice was, a demon is an evil force, but not necessarily in the biblical sense.
The fourth choice was, a demon is an evil creature, an inhuman entity, much like those described in religious texts.
Death and taxes?
That's a hard word to say. Texts. Can we just say the Bible?
Sounds good.
I don't know. Oliver wrote this. Oliver, can we say the Bible?
I'll allow it.
Okay, he'll allow it for 5 points.
The Bible!
And the final selection was,
he'll allow it for 5 points. Go on, sorry.
Not sure.
Yes, the last one was not sure.
Most people are very sure of everything.
That's right.
I'm not sure of 99% of everything in life, and I just skate on by.
But demons is one thing all of us are sure about.
Oh, yes, I am.
All right, let's get to what people voted for. I should point out that our new poll on islandghostradio.com uses percentages and not the amount of people that voted.
Okay.
So compared to our old polls.
Right. So it's easier to figure out how many percentage-wise. It's more important.
Right. Coming in from number 5 to number 1, at number 5, with 1.83%, people voted not sure.
It's interesting how many people are not sure about demons, as if there's, I don't know, a way to be sure.
Right.
At number 4, a demon is an evil force, but not necessarily in the biblical sense. And that received 15.85%. At number 3, a demon is actually just a malevolent human spirit. And that receives 17.68%. And number 2, people said demons are nothing. Demons aren't real. And that received 31.10%.
I bet I could figure out what number 1 was now.
Well, here it is. Number 1, the one people most voted for, is a demon is an evil creature, an inhuman entity, much like those described in religious texts.
Well, it's interesting that they said that. It makes you wonder how they know.
And that received 33.54%. So, not a landslide, but you can see people are really split on this.
Well, it just goes to show you that 33.54?
Yes.
33.54% of the people responding have been married.
Ah, I see.
Well, that correlates to the MySpace comments that their exes are demons.
Guilty.
Maybe people think this is a relationship show we're doing and not a paranormal talk show.
What's the difference?
Good point. Anyway, Oliver, do you have anything to add to this poll? You created it. Is this how you thought it was going to turn out?
You know, I'm actually sort of surprised, and it actually kind of begs the question, which is a whole other show, but about religion and paranormal investigators and how many people who are into paranormal investigation are actually religious people.
Yes, and with that, should we share our views on this poll, what we believe?
Yes, let's do it.
Might as well.
All right.
Oliver, what do you believe?
I went with C. Demon is an evil force, but not necessarily in the biblical sense, because I've got to say that biblical is a bit. I think it's got to be broader than that, and I see it as an evil force, not necessarily a little horned man.
Right.
A little horny man?
Yes.
Ah.
Oh yeah, I know him.
Okay. all right, Diane, what is your opinion?
Mine actually falls in between. A demon is actually just a malevolent human spirit, and a demon is an evil force, but not necessarily in the biblical sense. I feel if you've been an evil person or not a nice person in life and you've passed away, you could theoretically become what would be perceived as a demon, just a very nasty spirit.
Good point. Good point. Erica, let's get to you.
Okay, I think you know what I'm going to say, but I'm just going to say it anyway, and I am totally in with a demon is an evil creature and an inhuman entity, much like those described in the Bible.
So you believe that demons are in fact real, just like they are described in the Bible?
With all my heart and soul.
Okay.
Now, it's not just, it's not just a demon. I think there's a whole hierarchy of demons, just like the angels, with Lucifer as the head honcho.
All right. My answer falls somewhere between nothing. Demons aren't real, and a demon is actually just a malevolent human spirit. I am a fence rider. I don't believe in demons, but I am open to the possibility that they could exist. I'm not completely closed-minded. I'm just, I just have a hard time believing that they are real.
Yeah, but a demon is just a label. So if you're using that as the label, I mean, it doesn't really describe what they do.
Well, we're going to have to ask John about certain things, because how does someone distinguish between a malevolent spirit and a demon if demons do in fact exist?
I can picture Belial leaning up against the wall and sort of saying, I don't like labels.
All right. Well, with that, let's go to a break, and we'll bring back John Zaffis.
Yay!
Yay. You're listening to Island Ghost Radio, and we'll be right back.
Yes? Hi, I'm here for the New York Ghost Tour.
Sorry, we're closed. But you can come back next week.
Next week? Forget that. I'll just go check out another place.
Trust me, there's no place half as interesting as ours, dear.
That's so not true. What about the Shanley Hotel in Napanock?
Once you've been to one haunted hotel, you've been to them all.
Not like this place. The Shanley Hotel dates back to 1845, and since then it's been a hotspot for paranormal activity. Mysterious music, smells, whistling, doors opening, footsteps. Almost everything you can imagine has been experienced at that hotel.
It's open to the public?
Absolutely. Sal and Cindy, the owners of the hotel, welcome people for regular stays or investigations, and their rates are beyond reasonable. They even offer workshops and in-house psychics.
How did you learn about this place?
By visiting www.shanleyhotel.com. You can get history, investigation info, and much more.
Thanks, I think I will. Just don't tell any of our customers.
Your secret's safe with me. It's not like anyone can hear us.
Unsung Ghost Kids.
Tonight, we have on the show the godfather of the paranormal, John Saffis. John has over 36 years of experience studying and investigating the paranormal. His study of demonology led into involvement with cases of demonic possession and exorcism. He is considered one of the foremost authorities in the field today. Welcome to the show, John.
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
hey,
John.
Glad to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us.
You are my absolute...
I hope you guys have some really, really good questions.
Oh, we're going to try.
John, what is your favorite food?
My favorite food?
Yeah.
Devil dogs?
No, actually... my most favorite thing in the world is a bacon cheeseburger, french fries, and a chocolate milk.
John, is it boxers or briefs?
Briefs.
Briefs. All right.
What does this have to do with demonology?
Well, probably I wear the briefs just so I don't lose anything when I'm in an exorcism, I guess.
I'm sure, too, on investigations you bring an extra pair just in case. Well, we thank you, John, for joining us. We had a poll this past week on our Island Ghost Radio website. The poll question was, what is a demon? And the response that most people chose was, a demon is an evil creature, an inhuman entity, much like those described in religious texts.
There were five choices,
yes,
on the poll.
But number two, coming in at a close second, was... nothing. Demons aren't real. So we kind of almost had a 50-50 split on this.
Does that surprise you, John, that so many people think that demons aren't real?
No. No, things like this really don't surprise me, because here again, you know, people are looking at demons or deities, if you will, as, you know, a creature that's running around and it has horns and a tail and hooves and, you know, all these whacked out things. If I seen anything like that, I wouldn't believe it either. But, you know, what people have to realize is that we deal with energy. Everything consists of energy, whether it's on a negative or a positive. But when you start dealing with things that go back thousands of years, you know, which is back to the deities, which predate, you know, our demons, and then as... allegedly, it is that they had cast some of the angels out of heaven, and mm-hmm. I try to keep everything right down to earth, guys. I try not to get anything too hardcore, so everybody can understand what the heck I'm even talking about. So, you know, because I confuse myself sometimes. But anyways, you know, you had these fallen angels, and they had turned into little imps and, you know, demons, and then the higher ups or the devils, and then you have the higher one, which is referred to as Satan. But here again, you know, they're not going to walk around, you know, looking as if they're portrayed in a lot of our folk art in the different religious sects. It's energy, it manifests, it works in mysterious and bizarre ways, and works behind the scenes. So, you know, 37 years of being around this and being exposed to it, if I didn't witness the things I've seen, gone through the things I've, you know, been partaking in over the years, I probably wouldn't even believe in them.
Right.
If you've never really had these type of situations where things occur and you know how they manifest and how they work, it's hard to understand it, let alone believe in something of a demon even existing.
Right. Now, John, I got to tell you right off the bat, I'm not necessarily a believer in this. I'm not closed-minded to the possibility of demons. I just find the whole concept very odd and strange. I mean, let me ask you, how would you distinguish between, say, a malevolent spirit and a demon?
It's here again, it has a lot to do with the characteristics of what is happening. And, you know, you find it bizarre. How do you think I feel after 30 minutes? So, you know, anyway, being on a serious note, you know, what? Now even my mind thought has changed over the years. You got to remember, years back, if somebody got scratched or somebody got pushed or there wasn't foul odor, all of us automatically would assume, oh, we're dealing with a demon.
Right.
But, you know, as we've been advancing over the past years with the equipment and understanding a lot of things, you know, you have to keep an open mind. And what I have found is that, you know, if a person was a mean, rotten person, a drunken abuser in life, they're going to be like that as a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So here again, when you're dealing with these characteristics and you're dealing with a lot of these things, this is where it takes your time in researching, you know, an investigation and trying to figure out, okay, what the heck are we actually dealing with here? Is it, you know, a nasty human ghost? Do we got Aunt Tilly and Grandma running around? Was Grandma a brutal, you know, type of person? Because we know a lot of our older people were very strong people and they were very dictative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to take all this stuff into consideration, you know, because what bothers me, I think, more than anything in the whole world is, you know, somebody will say, oh, well, John Zaffis was here. Oh, you got demons.
You have a reputation.
You know, I don't want to find demons. I want to go out and find Casper the Ghost because then I don't have to work.
Right.
Yes.
You know, there's a big difference. But getting back to that, when you're dealing with something that we could possibly be saying we're relating to something that could be a demon or, you know, however you want to phrase it, there's so many different terms today, too, is that it takes time in determining exactly what we're looking for. What are we walking away with as far as proof? You know, has there been psychological profiles done up on these people? There's a lot of things that we have to take into consideration before I'm even going to say, hey, this person, it's a good possibility they're possessed.
Right. It takes a lot of training to discern between a malevolent spirit and a demon.
Yes, it does. And here again, too, I believe very much in integrating the old world and the new world. Do I work with psychics and mediums? Yes. Do I want to see things proven out from a scientific approach with walking away with evidence? Yes. So I work very openly with all of the information that comes through on a spiritual level with people and comes back to me with EVPs or psychic photographs or temperature changes. All these things are very important when we do our investigations.
Right. Have you been on any cases where you just really weren't sure if this was something demonic you were dealing with or just a really nasty, malevolent human spirit?
Well, yes. Because here again, you have to stay open-minded when
right.
dealing with this. So here again, as you're going through and you're trying to figure out, okay, are we dealing with just a nasty ghost or are we dealing with something on a demonic level, that's why I very seldomly will jump very quickly to a conclusion. And as you're going along, you're looking at your evidence and you're talking to the people, family members, friends, trying to determine exactly what's happening, then you wait to see what's going to happen next. And when I say when, you know, something next is coming or, you know, to see what's going to happen next, to see what's happening with the individual, has the amount of activity escalated within the home or with the person, these are your key factors. And they're very important to be able to look at all these things before you can come to any type of conclusion. Now, you know, this is a fascination, and I'm calling it an epidemic within the demonology field today. I have never seen so many demonologists pop out of the woodwork
yes.
like I have in the past 2 years.
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, it's scary and it's frightening because people are picking up a book or two, they're reading it, and, you know, they're feeling that they, you know, are able to do this. It takes time to be able to understand these things, just like with any other field. There's a lot of, you know, psychological things you have to look at. And when people are going in and they're provoking or they're going in and they're dealing with something that is on a demonic level, what ends up happening is I'm seeing it affecting the researchers,
mm-hmm.
their paranormal organizations. And I hear the same thing time and time again from a lot of these guys is that, John, we didn't believe this stuff is real that you talk about.
Right.
Right.
And that it does affect everything in the background. Our lives are falling apart. We're all fighting. You know, everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong.
Yeah.
And these are some of the signs I always tell people to look for. That tells you you're dealing with, you know, another energy source that has an intelligence, and it's affecting you the best way it knows how.
When you talk about, when you're studying demons and sort of involved in this whole sort of dark world, and you're talking about now people fighting and that sort of influence, whether it be an oppression or whatever. I mean, how does that change your worldview? I mean, when you see horrible murders or different terrible things happen in the world, does a lot of times in your mind go right to the demonic, or do you think that human beings are just have that capacity?
Well, actually, both. I mean, unfortunately, you know, it's sad to say this, but when you're dealing with people that are involved with, multiple murders or some of these crazy, bizarre things you see with children being killed and everything, long and behold, and I say this time and time again when I watch things on the news, I said, we're going to hear something about, they're going to say the kid was possessed or there was a demon in them or they were practicing, you know, some type of rituals or things like that. And long and behold, a lot of times you will end up hearing that. But do I blame everything and anything that goes on in our world on something on, you know, the demonic? No. We have people out there that are just plain crazy.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, they're unstable individuals. You know, they have psychological problems, and these people aren't involved with the occult. No, I don't think the devil made all these people do these things. No.
Well, John, with a lot of these groups claiming to have demonologists, and there is no demonology degree that you can get at college, how do you know if a demonologist is credible?
Here again, with the demonology field, it's a fairly close-knit group. There's quite a few of us that integrate with each other. We talk to each other about our cases. We intermingle with a lot of the different clergy. And when a person is involved with that aspect of it, usually they, you know, will intermingle with us, go back and forth.
Okay.
If you're dealing with somebody, I mean, you know, let's face facts, if they're 18, 19 years old,
right,
that's got to throw up a red flag with anybody.
Yes.
Now, John, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to throw this in. I have to ask, because you brought up the sharing of information between clergy and other demonologists. Do you feel that your fellow demonologists and the clergy are more open to sharing experiences and ideas than, say, the paranormal community as a whole?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's obvious.
Yeah, with all the fighting and everything, I'd imagine. So there are no demonology brawls on Friday nights at all?
Well, if there is, I sure the heck don't want to go, because I don't want to see who's going to show up. But, you know, a key thing a lot of people have to understand, just like in any other field, you know, you have to build credibility. You have to build trust. And, you know, even though, you know, I'm a paranormal brat, as I refer to myself, mm-hmm. you know, I've been involved with the field. My family's been involved with the field. You still have to build that trust with a lot of your different clergy people out there.
Right.
So it's a difficult thing when a lot of times somebody will call me up and I've never heard of this person and they'll go, you know, give me the number of the exorcist in Ohio. I can't do that. You know, I can't just hand out telephone numbers. I have no clue who you are. You're telling me you're trying to help a family. Then when I start asking you questions on whether you know this person is legitimately possessed or not, and you go, well, I don't know. So, you know, you do things, you know, and you have to learn that there's a protocol, just like with any other field out there, that you have to do these things. You have to build trust. And you have to have that trust within the community of saying, you know, a paranormal investigator that's been around for 2 or 3 years, and there are a lot of them that I do deal with, you know, they'll call up, they'll ask questions or trying to figure things out and, you know, trying to piece it together. Because, you know, there's no 911 exorcist. There's no telephone number for that.
Is there a danger to bring – if somebody, say, were just mentally ill and not possessed or oppressed, would it be dangerous to bring an exorcist to that person because they may draw that kind of evil to a person who is already in a weakened state?
Not necessarily. I've seen situations where people have been dealt with that do have mental illness, but yet they still had what we call attachment. They're not necessarily possessed. And, you know, here again, right across the board, because there isn't any clergy out there or any type of people out there that do things that I haven't worked with over the years. So here again, I've seen where different rituals and different things have helped people that have had attachments to them, but yet they still had mental illness. Now, it's not going to make mental illness go away. You know, here again, that's a big problem we have today is that, you know, people are diagnosed with bipolar, schizophrenia, multiple personalities, and a lot of their friends and family members think, oh, well, let's get an exorcism done on and it'll fix them. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
So, you know, that's something else that, you know, doing this work and being involved with it, that's very touchy and it's very scary because people think mental illness is caused by demons and it is not.
Now, John, do you feel that the scientific community is completely closed off, and do you find that some demonologists are completely closed off to the mental illness factor as well?
Absolutely. You have to remember, you have the old world and a lot of your religious figures. You know, they believe very strongly that everything is caused by the demonic.
Right.
Or, you know, it could be caused, you know, by these negative forces, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't necessarily feel that way. You know, but you have the old world mentality, but we have the new world we're dealing with today. And a lot of your younger people practicing or getting involved with any religious perspective of it are more open-minded. They're more exposed to the reality of the world. So, you know, that's a cool thing, and that's happening, and it's a good thing that that's happening. Now, on our scientific end, even the doors with a lot of that has opened up a lot over the past 2 to 3 years,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, okay, they're helping somebody, they're counseling somebody, they got them on medications, nothing's working, I don't believe in devils or demons or possession, but I can't say this person might not have that issue.
Right.
I get more and more phone calls like that today than I ever did before.
Huh. Wow. Well, that brings up a question about the Catholic Church and how quickly they are to dismiss the idea that someone's possessed.
Mm-hmm.
I know they have certain criteria that the person has to meet in order for them to investigate it, but it seems that they're very quick to dismiss it as not being a possession of any kind.
Well, here again, that is something that is very difficult, and it makes it very hard for a person that is Roman Catholic. And if they are going through this type of situation, a lot of your priest would prefer to dismiss it than deal with it. Okay? And that's not something I'm in agreement with. And it's something that bothers me. And, you know, I can understand, you know, any clergy, whether it's priests or rabbis or ministers, if they've never had any exposure to understanding this, never witnessed anything, they don't want to give it that recognition. It's
right.
A fear factor.
But isn't it different these days? Aren't more clergy open to the whole demonic possession thing than say, 20 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They view it very differently today.
The Catholic Church, didn't they recently recognize exorcism or reopen the practice of exorcism?
Okay, yes. Here again, I know what you're talking about, some of the articles that came out over the past couple of years. It's not the fact that they're just recognizing it and opening the doors back up. Nothing's changed. They still have their clergy that they've trained. They're just more open about speaking about it today.
Okay.
So there really isn't too much that has really changed as far as the Roman Catholic Church goes. They do have, you know, the demonology end of it. I do know that a lot more of the priests today that are getting involved with things are, you know, electing to take that as part of their curriculum, if you will, on trying to understand some of these things that do go on with the occult world.
Right. Well, aren't they training more and more priests at the Vatican to be exorcists?
Okay, here again, that is something that really hasn't changed. They just happen to bring it out more into the forefront. They're actually admitting to it.
Right.
You know, the statement was made that they are actually, you know, ordaining more of them to be exorcist. What is happening is you have a younger culture coming in. And, you know, they're recognizing the fact that these things exist and they're happening, and more of them are electing to study it and understand it in case they have to help parishioners out there.
How important is religion to all of this?
50-50, buddy. 50-50. When you're looking at the big picture, and here again, I'm a practicing Roman Catholic. You know, I get involved with all this crazy hoodoo voodoo that goes on out there. You know, from every perspective that you look at, from a spiritual perspective, Judaism, Buddhism, everything. Buddhism.
I think that's the worship of pirates. Buddhism.
I think it was the worship of something else.
I mean, you stop and you think about the big picture when you look at this, and you go back in time. And if you study any of these things, I mean, we refer to the deities, you know, back in Egyptian times and the things that happened, you know, over the course of the different gods and things that were worshipped. So you look at the big picture from a spiritual perspective, that here again, when a lot of these things were dealt with and everything, we understand that today that it's energy, and the energy can never be destroyed. It can manifest and take on many different characteristics. But the key with trying to understand some of this is when we deal with that energy that takes on the characteristics of a deity or a demon, it has an intelligence. Where does it get this intelligence from? Where does it get this information from? These are the attributes and the things that we look for when we deal with some of this. So scientifically and spiritually, I look at this today as a 50-50 type thing.
Interesting.
One of the answers in the poll was a demon is an evil force, but not necessarily in the biblical sense, which is what I chose as my answer. And I thought part of that was because you have so many of these different religions, whether it be the Muslims and the jinns or voodoo and Loa and all these different things. But to me, isn't it all just sort of the same thing in a different name and a different religion? And the using religion to battle that force is really about intent, not necessarily that one specific religion will work over another.
Absolutely. When you get involved with everything on a spiritual level, you have a positive and you have a negative. And again, they're calling upon, you know, deities or demons, whatever they're calling upon, you know, if it's called upon and it's being used and those energies are on a negative level, they're going to bring that forth no matter what the belief system is. And when you start taking all these different energies and you start combining them, now the reason I'm saying that today is because, let's face facts, religion's deteriorating as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Every religion, not just one. People are viewing things, people are looking things very differently than they did even 10 years ago. But then, you know, you have a lot of these different belief systems that are getting integrated into different practices and different belief systems, and you have a mishmash of a lot of different things that people are calling upon a lot of these different energies and these spirits to manifest and do things. And that creates one hell of a mess, no pun intended.
Well, if you just joined us, you're listening to Island Ghost Radio. We are speaking with John Zaffis. John, we had a voicemail last week from a woman named Jennifer, and she left her opinion on demons, and she said that not all demons are evil and some are good. Have you heard that opinion before?
Many times.
Okay.
Many times.
She didn't elaborate on it, so I can't really, you know, say where she was going with it.
I'm going to answer it in John Zaffis way for you.
Okay.
If it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck, then it's a duck.
I like it. John, most of your work revolves around hauntings, and what percent of those hauntings would you say are demonic cases?
With what I get involved with today, I would say the majority of the things that I deal with take into consideration worldwide today. I work with organizations, all different clergy. So the majority of the work that I get involved with today is usually on the negative level. But what comes into our organization, are they all demonic cases? No. We deal with a lot of different situations where we're just dealing with human spirit. And, you know, like I said, those are easy type situations. The organization, we go out and investigate them. And, you know, and with our findings and everything, you know, you're able to help the families and bring closure with, you know, saying grandma or grandpa was running around in the house.
Right. So for the average investigator, it would be a lot less.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot less. I mean, today, you know, the majority, what's happening today is that a lot of the groups I'm finding are very intrigued if they get a case that comes in on a negative level.
Right.
They're intrigued to understand it. They're intrigued to figure out what is going on. And most importantly, they're trying to figure out, does any of this stuff even exist?
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of them are getting involved with it, with trying to understand it. And what I respect most about investigators out there, you know, if they pick up the phone and they're calling myself or one of my colleagues and saying, what do we look for? How do we know, you know, that, the, you know, this ain't Casper the ghost and we might be dealing with something just from what the people are telling us?
Right.
You know, a key thing with me all the time, I always tell people, yeah, I get phone calls all the time. You know, you could tell me you're possessed, you're getting thrown around and all this other stuff's happening. It doesn't mean I'm going to believe you.
Right.
Right.
It's most important as a researcher in any field to be able to go and experience something, to witness something that these people are claiming is happening in their home.
Right.
Or happening to them.
I'd imagine you have a rigorous interview process as well.
Believe it or not, it's very laxed.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's extremely laxed.
No SAT tests or anything?
No. Okay. Because, you know, one thing you have to remember, normally, with my normal type of situation, usually when I am talking to anybody or dealing with people, they're frantic.
Right.
They're scared. They can't figure out what the heck is going on. So, you know, then I'll, you know, go from there to talk to them to try and figure out exactly what the heck is happening. And, you know, usually I can go through two or three telephone calls to tell you whether I'm dealing with a cuckoo bird or I'm dealing with somebody that's got a haunting.
Right. It seems to me, I'm sorry, it seems to me that a lot of the people that contact us feel more comfortable contacting a ghost hunting group than clergy, regardless of what they feel they have in their home.
Because they're petrified of them.
They are
petrified of their higher-ups with any spiritual belief system.
Right.
And for the life of me, I can't understand that.
Well, this begs the question, have you come into opposition with clergy who...
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, who are like, you know, the ones that believe that all spirits are evil and what you're doing is dangerous and...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, 37 years... I've had some major, major battles, and it hasn't been with demons. It's been with clergy. You know, because I do not, and I have never really had the philosophy in the belief system that all spirit is evil. That's
right.
Ridiculous.
Right.
I will not accept a fact like that, and I will stand there and argue till I can no longer speak with anybody that wants to have that discussion with me, because it's just not a truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, here again, the same thing. I mean, I still even have family members that still don't talk to me because I do this work and they feel I'm doing the work of the devil. You know, so, you know, we all come up against these things and we all deal with them. I mean, you know, due to the TV shows and everything today, you know, yeah, a lot of those relatives talk to me now because I'm the coolest thing because I'm on TV. And I go, guess what? You didn't talk to me years ago. Don't talk to me now.
Yeah. Somehow
but
they think you're going to send the money.
Philosophy.
Yeah, they want a loan.
Yeah, they want a loan.
Yeah. You know, so you look at all those different things and you take all that into consideration. And a lot of it comes from the mindset of what people were taught during the course of their lives. And, you know, you if you're not open-minded, I don't know how people can grow if they're not open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, in 37 years, there's been things I've changed my viewpoint on. I've changed my way of handling certain things because, you know, you have to. You're not going to grow. We're not going to learn, and we're not going to get the answers if we stay inside our boxes.
Right.
I've got a question for you, John. It's slightly not quite on the exact line of what we're talking about, but earlier you'd mentioned something about the demonic and I guess for me I'll say the angelic as well appearing as they do in pop culture or folk art, things like that. I don't remember if it was actually in the Haunting in Connecticut video or if I was in hearing you speak about it, but you talked about seeing that one demon when you were on the staircase, I think. Now, when you saw that, do you see that as you seeing it in its true form, or do you believe that that was maybe your interpretation, or it feeding you what your worst image, your worst fears were?
Good question.
How do you see the demonic appearing? I mean, do you think that it's totally subjective, or do you think that they do have a true form?
I really don't feel that they have a true form. I think what happens is basically just like you were stating, is that they will appear to us on what's really going to affect us.
Mm-hmm.
So you see something creepy and ugly looking appearing in front of you, and you know it's larger than life. Something like that is really going to take you back, and that's something that's, you know, really going to rattle your cage and you know, scare the hell out of you. So, I mean, you know, here again, we all know, you know, if something appears in front of you, and, you know, I'll use the classic, something appears in front of me and it's got horns and it's got a tail swing and it's got hooves, that's going to scare the crap out of you. I mean, I don't care who you are. It's going to scare the crap out of you. So, you know, it will appear. And that's what tells me these energies, when they manifest, they can do these things and create these things because this is what's going to happen to be able to get that scare factor, you know, going inside of you.
Yeah.
Well, you brought up A Haunting in Connecticut. When the movie came out, we all rushed out to see it, and we were kind of surprised at how different it was from the television show.
Well, you're being very nice.
I'm trying to be. We should have called you first, John, but anyway.
Okay. The DVD that was recently released has part one and part two in it. Carmen and her two nieces and two of the kids, myself, we all speak about what the true events were that transpired in the home.
Oh, okay.
You know, the beginning of the movie, they, you know, it was great. It was going fantastic. And I'm sitting there like everybody else, and I'm watching it, and I'm going, oh, cool.
Uh-huh.
But then as they started going along and my character turned into a reverend, my wife died.
And you had cancer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, all these, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, what did they do this for?
Yeah.
We were saying the same thing. We're like, is that supposed to be John?
Yeah.
Couldn't figure that out.
Yeah. When the bodies started coming out of the walls, I was like, oh boy.
Well, I was just going to lead up to that. You know, the fact of, you know, and the running joke with me today is, if bodies fell out of the walls and the kid burnt down the house, that would have been bigger, more news that would hit than the haunting would have.
Absolutely.
But, you know, here again, you know, you try to keep an open mind and everything. We know how Hollywood is. You know,
the
key thing with most of these movies and things, they try to scare people.
Absolutely.
But like I said, what I was extremely happy about is when the DVD was released and it has all our personal interviews in there explaining everything, that made me very happy.
Oh, that's good.
The DVD I got did not have that because I was looking forward to that. I was talking to my wife and I said, oh, this will be good because I know they'll have some cool extras of John Zaffis and all that stuff. And I guess the one I had didn't have the disc or whatever, but I'm glad that's there. I'm glad that's part of it.
Yeah, I really like the television version. It was like one of my favorite movies.
Well, you know what? That's an occult classic now.
Really? It's really
you
good.
You can get it now at Kmart for about $5, which is a great deal, by the way.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that is the most accurate on, you know, here again, what the family went through. a lot of the different things that occurred in there. But don't get me wrong, there's a little Hollywood hype in that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the mattresses, I sure the heck didn't see them going a foot up in the air and breathing like that.
Right.
Okay. And I mean, you know, but what's comical is, you know how you always hear those crazy stories about when they're doing any of these creepy stories and turning them into movies, they have all kinds of things that go wrong on the
set?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that does happen. When I was down filming, they were supposed to have this mechanical creepy thing coming down the staircase as it originally had appeared, but they couldn't get the computers to work. Everything was going wrong. So before I had taken off, they said, John, we're going to have the thing come up the stairs like Carmen's son had seen down there. And I went, all right. So I did everything, and I'm sitting watching it when it premiered on TV, and my wife turned and looked at me, and she goes, I never heard you talk about a fireball. I said, I never saw a fireball. But, you know, here again, the creepy-looking thing down at the bottom of the stairs, that's what her son used to see all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was described and portrayed perfectly onto what he had witnessed down in the basement.
Where did they film that show?
The movie.
No,
the
actual
in the theaters.
No, the one that you were in.
The Discovery Channel one.
Yeah, TV one.
That was filmed down in North Carolina at New Dominion Pictures, right in their studios.
Okay.
It's funny. I thought the Discovery Channel documentary/movie, whatever you want to call it, was actually creepier than the theatrical release.
It was.
So one of the theater just annoyed us.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I totally understandable. Totally understandable. And, you know, that's why I started laughing when she was walking very gingerly, saying, well, I didn't really think that was all that cool.
Yeah, it was different.
It's not cool.
No, I was trying not to be mean, but
I know.
We know that you weren't happy.
But, you know, here again, that's why I like explaining it and, you know, trying to have people understand it, that they just took,
right,
you know, so much of it and just went with it. And, you know, it was amazing. It was pretty amazing because, boy, I think the best part of it was when he started chopping down the walls and all those bodies fell out. I sat right there and watched that, and I said, man, oh, man, if that ever happened, who would have cared about the fucking haunting?
Yeah, absolutely.
Those bodies were in great shape, too.
That would have been on 2020.
Weren't they? I'd like to get a few of those for the museum.
were you involved in Amityville at all, or was that just your aunt and uncle?
No, that the Amityville case, no, I did not work on that. I never really had any direct contact per se when the case was going on. But years back before George had passed away, I did lecture with him a couple of different times, sitting down, talking to him and getting to know him. You know, here again, the bottom line is the movies and the books are nothing but a bunch of crap.
Right.
But do I think that something happened in that house? Yeah, I do. I do think that there was something on a haunting that transpired. And the worst part is, you know, the very last day that they, you know, supposedly had fled the house, no one knows what happened because no one ever told anybody. And now Kathy and George are gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether the kids were ever told or not, I don't know. I really don't. But, you know, with all of these cases, including a haunting in Connecticut, they're going to get ripped apart. You're going to have people coming out of the woodwork saying these things aren't real, they don't happen. And you have to take into consideration when you start dealing with money, people start getting mad at each other. Neighbors get ticked off because their property values are going to drop. But, you know, this is very common, and I've seen it time and time again. Anytime you have a case that becomes very famous.
Right. John, have you ever heard a demon leave an EVP?
I'm sorry?
Do demons create EVPs?
Very controversial. you know, today, you know, between the EVPs and all the different hack boxes, Frank's boxes, all these boxes, you know, a lot of people are saying these are all demonic voices that are coming through.
I've heard demonic voices from the Jack in the Boxes. That's
well,
the fast food, I should
clowns
say.
Clowns are very creepy. They are evil.
They leave indigestion.
with the boxes and your EVPs and everything, I'm a very firm believer that you can have human spirit that's going to come through, and I do believe that you'll get communication from something on a negative also.
Okay. John, do you have anything coming up that you want to plug?
my biggest new project that I'm involved with today. It's the Paranormal TV Network. It's a brand new network station we created. Laura Kimberly, John Zaffis, and Mark Tetlow. And if you get the opportunity, just go on to it. It's called PTN. We're broadcasting a lot of different paranormal people, everything involved with the paranormal.
Awesome.
And what we're trying to do is, you know, break the ground for some of the people that, you know, are into paranormal investigating. They got some good DVDs out there. They got some really excellent material and things out there, and they've never really been given the chance to air any of that. So, you know, we've been working very hard over the past couple of months of getting this set up and rocking and rolling with it, as you will. We have quite a few different topics and shows and different things that we're airing on it right at this point in time.
John, would you be interested in, like, you know, maybe a lowly Long Island paranormal group possibly having its own show on your net? I'm kidding, of course.
You said you wouldn't say that.
I'm kidding. We have faces for radio. I'll just leave it at that.
We're not that ugly.
Yeah, but no. Now, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with that question. That's a very legit question. You know, here again, you know, a lot of people are filming things. A lot of paranormal groups are getting phenomenal evidence and everything out there. The best thing I could tell you to do is put something together, get it edited, and submit it onto the site.
I actually wrote to the Paranormal Network. I want somebody to do a show, and they travel around either the country or the world, and they just
spotlight.
They spotlight a different group every week, so we could see how different groups do different things and learn from each other.
Well, I'll let a little cat out of the bag. You will be seeing on major TV that will be happening, and it will be in 2010.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks.
John,
it doesn't involve me, but there is a TV series that is doing exactly what you just said.
Good.
That would be great.
What's your prediction for 2012?
Well, when you look at a lot of the different things and you see what's happening and everything, it scares the crap out of me that things line up from things that were written about thousands of years ago.
Right.
Do I think it's going to be the end of the world? No. Well, you know, here again, scientifically, we know, you know, something's going to give, something's going to happen with all these planets lining up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is there going to be a shift? Is something going to happen? Probably. But, I mean, you know, it's all scientific. It isn't anything that I think is happening on a major spiritual level where I think everything's going to go poof and we're all just going to die. No.
You know, John, I had a question actually written down here on my list of questions that was, you know, if you believe in demons and that sort of takes you to a certain level of belief where all these other things begin to open up, and seeing that demons are something that's sort of biblical, where do you stand on things like Judgment Day, you know, the Book of Revelation, that kind of stuff?
I usually don't even get into any of that.
You don't have to.
Here again, you know, there's a lot of different things that have been written over the course of years. The Dead Sea Scrolls, there's so much information coming to the forefront. With a lot of different things, I think it's very important to keep an open mind on a lot of the information that's out there, a lot of the new information that's coming out. So I try to keep an open mind with a lot of the things that are out there, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I like to keep an open mind because, you know, guess what? Things change. I mean, we know within organized religion over the years, you know, a king or a pope or somebody would get mad at something and they would take it out. So, you know, I keep a very open mind with a lot of different things on trying to understand them and comprehend them. I mean, do I feel in the long run, you know, that there's some type of a supreme energy? Some people refer to it in many different terms. I refer to it as God, that there is something that exists. Yes. I mean, there isn't a doubt in my mind that there's something that is grand and, you know, that there's something to all of it. I've seen too much, been around too much to not believe in it on a positive level and on a negative level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I keep a very open mind, and I try to keep it as general as I can, because do I necessarily believe in everything that is written per se per any religion? Hell no.
Yay.
So, you know, but yeah, just witnessing the things and seeing the things that, you know, occur and happen and watch, there is definitely something out there that's a supreme power. On a positive level and on a negative.
Hear, hear.
Okay.
Well, John, we're running out of time, but I have one more question. When can we come up and see the museum?
I know. It's been crazy. This stupid thing, I finally got it built, got everything in there. Haven't had the time, haven't really been home all that much to be able to set up doing the small tours and things.
Well, right. just leave the key under the mat. We'll check it out.
And, yeah, and October is coming, so you're going to be really busy.
That's the other thing, too, because, you know, the one thing I dislike doing, and I'm very honest about it, I hate to start scheduling things and then have to call people and say, gee, guess what? I just got called out of town. I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, because people set up plans to be able to do things. I'm hoping in 2010 things will slow down, and on a Saturday or Sunday, I'll be able to start doing my tours. That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. We'll be there.
You could find more about John at Zaffis at johnzaffis.com and prsne.com. John, we thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was really a pleasure.
Well, thanks for having me on. It was great.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
And make sure you send me that link because I want to listen to the show.
Absolutely. We will definitely send it to you.
Okay, guys. You be good and take care.
All right.
Keep
you too, John.
Keep up the good work.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.